Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Illinois Farm Economic Summit in Peoria, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon, the 14th day of December. Coming up during the closing market report today, we'll talk with Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities out of Watsiki, Illinois. Gary Schnutke will join us to take a look at farm management and crop insurance, particularly what the premiums might be for 2017 and what we know at this point in time. And a bit later in the program, as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, right here on Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's the way the numbers are trading on this Wednesday, and these numbers come to you around the 12:15, 12:30 time frame as I'm traveling towards Springfield at this hour. December corn at the noon hour down 4.5 cents at 351 3/4. The March was 3/4 lower at 360 1/4. July down 3/4. December there down 0.25 cents at $3.89. Soy complex was lower as well over the noon hour. January contract down 3.5 at 1024 1/2. The March at 1035. 4 1/4 lower. May down 5, July down 4 3/4, November down 3 cents at 1017. That's for the new crop. Again, these are over the noon hour. Bean oil was up 16 cents. Bean meal down $2.40. Soft red winter wheat 6.5 lower at 391 1/2. And the July, the quarter cent lower trade was at 439 3/4. Live cattle futures in Chicago at the noon hour down 22.5 cents at $110.90. Feeders were down $1.35 at 127.62 1/2, and lean hogs were at 57.87 1/2, up about 70 cents. Again, those numbers from the noon hour as I'm traveling this afternoon away with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. You can come to the last two events if you'd like yet. We'll be in Springfield. That's where I'm headed to right now, in fact, at the Crown Plaza. We'll start about 7:45 for registration in the morning. Cost is $75, and then kick off the actual event around 8:15 a.m. We'll be also in Mount Vernon this week, that on Friday at the Holiday Inn. Again, the same time, it's your chance to catch up with the agricultural economist from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. See all the details on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. Clear skies, a low of 7 degrees tonight on a wind out of the northwest at 15 to 25 miles an hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, a high of 14 for Thursday, winds out of the west at 10 to 15, and Thursday evening cloudy skies, a low of 13 degrees in the Urbana-Champaign area, winds southeast at 10 to 15. Friday cloudy and 28. Friday night, a mix of wintry precipitation in the evening, then periods of light rain expected overnight, low of 27. Winds out of the south at 10 to 20 on Friday evening, chance of precipitation set at 80%, maybe less than a inch in total. By the time we get to Saturday, cloudy skies, periods of light rain early, a morning high of 39, and then the temperatures really do begin to fall. 20 degrees by the time we end the afternoon, with a north-northwest wind at about 15 to 25 miles an hour, 70% chance of some kind of precipitation during the day. About 6/10 of an inch. Saturday night, windy with on and off snow showers during the evening, a low of just 2 degrees. Winds out of the northwest at 20 to 30 miles an hour. Chance of snowfall on Saturday evening set at 60%. We might get about an inch. And then on Sunday, some clouds in the morning. That'll give way to mainly sunny skies by the afternoon. The high on Sunday, just 6 degrees with the wind out of the north-northwest at 10 to 20. We'll drop down to 0 Sunday night under clear skies. And on Monday, we'll have a high of 20 degrees under sunny skies. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Merrill Crowley now joins us. He's from Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois. Thanks, Merrill, for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Todd. Looks like you're just traveling all over the place.
We are traveling, and just a reminder, if folks would like to catch up with us on the Illinois Farm Economic Summit, you can do that tomorrow in Springfield. We'll be at the Crown Plaza and then at the Holiday Inn in Mount Vernon on Friday. Registration opens at 7:45 a.m. Walk-ins are certainly welcome, and the cost is just $75. It's a morning-long event. We wrap up with the noons, our meal. So at this time, actually, I'm talking to Merrill, at about 12:15, just so folks know what time that's happening. And I should be somewhere around Lincoln, maybe near Springfield at this point, on my way to our next meeting set. It's been a really good meeting set. If you want to meet some of the agricultural economists you hear on this program, you can drop by at one of the IFAS meetings. Again, we're in Springfield and in Mount Vernon on Thursday and Friday of this week. Okay, Merrill, so we've got corn down a penny or so. Beans are off 3 to 5 or something along that lines for the day, and wheat is off about 1, with the exception of the nearby contract. Looks like the marketplace is really beginning to move into the holiday doldrums at this time. Do you have any expectations before the end of the year?
Well, first of all, use the holiday doldrums to your advantage. Time to review last year's marketing plan, make a new plan. I think we're looking at something like some sort of event or combination of events, whether they be weather, inflation, geopolitical, money flow from equities, cold weather, increasing feed usage, winter kill on the wheat. So you get all this, and I kind of set out maybe like a timetable. Jan 12th USDA report. First thing, of course, we got next week's Argentine's forecasted rains, if they're going to be more than expected, less than expected. Then you go into the Jan 12th report, Jan 20th inauguration day, Jan through Feb is South American crop prospects, Jan 28th data for crop insurance, and March 30 quarterly stocks and planting intentions, with the wheat coming out of dormancy. So we've got a whole bunch of things looking at the Trump administration, their questions there. I know Van Trump had said that he'd seen data that shows the post-election rallies tend to peak historically just after Inauguration Day. So that could be interesting. If that starts to decline, money may start flowing back into the commodities. We have a whole bunch of, you know, will Trump have a trade war with China? And I look at that and say, well, I just think China's got more to lose than we do. So I don't know. It won't be good if we have one, but I still think China has more to lose in that deal than we do. Dollar is rallying. I think it could go up to 103, 104, but then it'll decline, and we're not that far away right now. And if that were to coincide with the inauguration timetable, then, you know, we'd get more competitive in exports. The dollar's rally has not really hurt our exports that much at this time, and we are still fairly competitive in prices. So if that were to decline, and we could see our prices go up more and still be competitive. So I think you've got a lot to look for, a lot to plan. I personally think that you could see $4 corn and beans somewhere in $11. But like I said, it's going to take an event.
Over the short term, through the end of the year, I would guess that there are a few producers that might think they'd like to sell a $10 or near $10 cash price for their soybeans. Do you see any event that will rally that market back up to those prices so that for new crop, at least, they might be able to put that in their back pocket?
Well, that's difficult to say. It could be just as soon as, you know, we get into the next week and these rains are going to disappoint, and your prices will rally right up and give you that opportunity. There's other ways to lock in and protect those prices. A 1040, 940 put spread, 46 cents. 1040 put, sell a 10 or 1140 call, 48 cents total cost. Sell fall delivery, buy a 1040, 1140 call spread for 26 cents. There's a lot of ways to protect current prices and still participate in higher prices should they materialize.
Anything as a last minute into the year that producers really ought to be thinking about, in your opinion?
My main focus right now is the marketing plan and watching basis levels for the corn prices as these ethanol plants need. We just got a report today, ethanol, another record in production today. So these plants are using and going through corn, and they're going to need to get some more corn supplies, and their basis levels will pop and give you an opportunity to price corn on a basis contract or outright sale.
I made note on the corn side that China's Jilin province is, which is their second largest producer, is relaxing, I guess, some of their restrictions on trucking of grains to ease some of the log jams. I know that they are not an importer of U.S. corn or very much over time. Does this give you a thought that maybe some of that grain we've been thinking about in China will be used more thoroughly than it has been thought in the past? It's been, of course, stockpiled for quite some time.
Yeah, and you always have the idea of the quality problems in that nation and whether or not what it can be used for. You know, if it's a poor quality, there's not a whole lot of use you can think of it. But yes, as they get rid of their corn supplies, that's going to keep them out of the import of corn from outside. And then, of course, on the opposite side, you're looking at sorghum prices and sorghum sales being announced to China. So they're still looking for other alternatives to utilize in their feed.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today, and we look forward to talking with you again in the future.
All right, thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That, of course, is Merrill Crowley. He's with Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, for 100 years offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, traveling on the Illinois Farm Economic Summits this week. We're in Peoria today at the casino. That's the Paradise Hotel. And we're talking now with Gary Schnudke, agricultural economist, farm management specialist. He's penned another article, as usual, for Tuesday on the Farm Doc Daily website. You can go look it up right now because it was posted yesterday, Tuesday, this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks, Gary, for being with us. Let's talk about crop insurance and potential for premiums, how they might compare to 2016 and 2017. You've run the numbers. What do they show?
Yeah, so we looked at 2017 premiums and used the same projected price and volatility that were existed for last year. That won't be the case. We'll know that after February. But if we use the same projected price and volatility, premiums are actually down a bit over most of the area for corn and down substantially in southern Illinois. So we're looking at 3% declines on premiums. Again, that's given the same price, projected price and volatility. So the takeaway there is that the rate changes that happened this year are good for Illinois farmers.
It's pretty interesting, and we know this across the state, that crop insurance in southern Illinois is much higher than it is in the other two-thirds of the state.
Yes, it is, and just to give you a feel for that, Saline County has, we're projecting a $23 premium for 80% RP for this coming year, and that compares to $6 in DeKalb County, so there's a sizable increase. Part of the reason why the southern Illinois rates have come down is because the preventive planning factor has been lowered. There will be less payments when preventing planting occurs, and that then results in lower premium.
Is there the same kind of difference for soybeans?
Soybeans, we're looking at across central and northern Illinois price declines. A little bit less so in Saline County or southern Illinois. Roughly the same rates, maybe a little bit lower, but roughly the same at 75% and higher coverage levels.
Do we know across the state of Illinois whether there's much of a difference in participation in the crop insurance program because of the differentiation in prices, or is it just a differentiation in how much of the price insurance they take?
So if you're looking across the Illinois, most of our acres are insured, and over 90% of the acres in Illinois are insured, and that holds for both corn and soybeans. Overall, use of crop insurance is congregated in three policies or three coverage levels under a policy. Revenue protection is the biggest used policy, used on roughly 79% of the acres, and most of the use is in 75, 80, and 85% coverage levels, and that doesn't vary a lot across corn and soybeans. If you're looking at Illinois, 80 and 85% predominate in the northern part of the state, lower coverage levels in the southern part of the state simply because of those higher premiums in southern Illinois.
How has the crop insurance usage grown over time?
So we've seen increases in use. We've seen acreage increase. Probably the biggest thing that has increased is the high coverage level use. Again, most of our coverage use is now in that 70, 75, and 80% coverage levels. Add to that the high use of ARP at 90%. We're over at 80% of the policies now being sold at those high coverage levels, 80% of planted acres. That compares to zero in 1996. So we've grown that practically every year since then.
You'll be watching over the next couple of months as the numbers tick into place for crop insurance. When will you have a fair idea of what these numbers will really look like?
So you'll know as we move into February, you'll have a pretty good idea. And what we'll be looking at is the December contract for corn, November contract for soybeans. Right now, you would be expecting corn prices roughly the same as last year. The December corn contracts in that 360-370 range, roughly where it was last year. If anything, higher for soybeans. Our projected price for soybeans could be higher. We were 880 last year. Right now we're over 10 on that. So that's going to be a key factor. See if we can hold those soybean prices, and we could be locking in some pretty high soybean prices compared to corn prices come this February.
Thanks so much, Gary.
Thanks for having me.
Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're traveling, of course, with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. If you'd like to catch up with us, you still have 2 days to do that. Tomorrow, Thursday, we'll be in Springfield at the Crown Plaza, and then on Friday, we'll be in Mount Vernon at the Holiday Inn. Walk-ins are welcome, 7:45 a.m. for pre-registration. We'll kick off the meeting at 8:15 sharp. I'm Todd Gleason. Let's take a quick look at today's agricultural news. Agricultural advisors for President-elect Donald Trump don't want North Dakota Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp as the Ag Secretary. While Heitkamp has sided with agriculture and Republicans at times, Trump's agriculture allies consider Heitkamp a snub against Trump's network of rural supporters. Political over the weekend reported Heitkamp topped the list to head USDA, but Trump's inner agricultural circle told Politico that they were blindsided by the news. Trump has yet to offer Heitkamp the post, and it's also uncertain she would accept the job, as she would leave a vacant seat in the Senate, which would likely be filled by a Republican in a special election. Well, a report from Rabobank shows consumers will benefit from downward pressure on global meat prices in 2017. The Rabobank Food and Agribusiness Research and Advisory Group says high supply and competitive markets are expected to push down current prices while global meat consumption continues to rise. Rabobank also expects China to maintain a record level of pork imports into the next year. China's beef and poultry imports are also expected to rise. The United States Cattlemen's Association has sent a letter this week to the current and incoming administrations regarding the association's near and long-term priorities. USCA issued an immediate request to President Barack Obama to continue work on restoring basic market protections for U.S. cattle producers. Later this year, the Department of Agriculture initiated the rulemaking process for the Grain Inspections, Packers, and Stockyards Administration, otherwise known as GIPSA, Farmer Fair Practices Rules. The two proposed rules and one interim rule were sent to the White House Office of Management and Budget for approval. In its letter, USCA asked the administration to move forward in publishing the rules and for public comment. In its letter to President-elect Donald Trump, USCA is requesting a swift and seamless transition. And finally today, Monsanto shareholders have approved a proposed merger with Bayer Ag. Under the terms of the merger agreement, Monsanto shareholders will receive $128 per share in cash at the closing of the merger. Monsanto CEO Hugh Grant Tuesday called the approval an important milestone for both companies. Bayer Ag leadership says the merger will help address the growing challenges facing farmers. 99% of the votes by Monsanto shareholders were in favor of the merger. That according to a Monsanto news release. The merger is subject to regulatory approval and is expected to be completed by the end of 2017. And that's a quick look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You know, President-elect Donald Trump's latest spat with China over foreign affairs and trade policies is raising some concern among U.S. agricultural leaders about the sales of agricultural products to that nation. But Trump's criticism of China's high tariffs and other barriers and currency manipulations and his actions are making farm leaders pretty nervous, too. China is a huge market for U.S. soybeans and other agricultural goods. And it's already looking to consolidate its economic power in the region with or without the success of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement. American Farm Bureau Federation Trade Advisor Dave Samuelson outlines China's options beyond TPP.
The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or as we call it, the RCEP, has been going on for the last several years. Not as comprehensive as the TPP, but includes a lot of the same nations in the Asia-Pacific region that the TPP does, but of course the centerpiece of it would be China.
Meanwhile, some agriculture and trade lawmakers argue the U.S. has not been tough enough on China. Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley is among them.
People want a level playing field, and stuff that we're filing against China on corn, wheat, and soybeans is a major issue. The fact that we're doing it is kind of doing what I said we don't do enough of, and that is be very vigorous, whether it's countervailing duties or whether it's arbitration before the WTO, we need to be more forceful.
The complaint is a long-standing one against China, with which the U.S. has a huge trade deficit. President-elect Trump hopes his pick for U.S. ambassador to China, Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, can improve things. Branstad has experience on trade and ag with China and last month made his seventh visit to the nation.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. It's public radio for the farming world. Back in 2 minutes with a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Hey, It's National Bouillabaisse Day. The hearty, soupy seafood stew is widely thought to have originated in Marseille, where fishermen fed themselves with unsaleable fish and fish scraps caught in their nets. On this day in agricultural history in 1795, John Bloomfelt Jervis was born. A civic engineer, he designed and built the Boston Aqueduct. And he won approval for an idea that a railroad should be incorporated into the Delaware and Hudson Canal project at a time when there were no railroads in the United States. In 1820, Abram Lyle was born, a Scottish ship owner and sugar refiner. He was best known for inventing Lyle's golden syrup, a byproduct of sugarcane that serves as a spread or sweetener for cooking. By the way, the green and gold tins in which Lyle's is sold today were introduced in 1885. And in 1943, John Harvey Kellogg died, an American physician, vegetarian, and health food pioneer. He developed dry breakfast cereals that sparked the flaked cereal industry. Kellogg was superintendent of the Battle Creek Sanitarium, where he developed the first breakfast cereals for his patients. Granola and Toasted Flakes. His brother, William Kellogg, founded the Battle Creek Toasted Cornflake Company to produce cornflakes, and that company eventually was shortened to Kellogg's. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. True Lerner is now here. He's with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon to you, too.
Like me, I hear that you're traveling. Where are you today?
I am in Montreal, Canada. Just got through speaking to a group of farmers and brokers here, and I'm on my way to New York, and hopefully I'll get back to Kansas City before the night's over.
Wow, so you've got some serious traveling to do. I know that it's been cold here. Is that because you sent all the Canadian cold south, or are you suffering through some really cold temperatures there too?
Actually, the eastern part of Canada is not too bad right now. They had a little bit of snow not too long ago, but overall they're doing pretty well. Not as cold as the heart of the Midwest or the Northern Plains. Both those areas are just going to get really tough here for the coming weekend. It looks like some negative teens and negative 20s are going to occur across the Northern Plains, and the northern part of the Midwest will end up with probably, temperatures getting down at the negative single digits, but a fair amount of snow is going to precede the event. I think we'll probably see anywhere from 2 to maybe 7 inches of snow coming up here over the weekend, and it'll begin probably tomorrow in some areas in the Northern Plains from Iowa back into Montana. It'll kind of fall apart a little bit and then restart again on Friday. And Friday into Saturday will be the big snow event. And then the super high pressure system that's going to come in and give us all the big chill will come in right after that, with probably Sunday morning coldest in many areas across the northern half of the plains and the upper Midwest. And then we'll probably push that cold into the rest of the Midwest as we go from Sunday into Monday.
Are we still talking about highs below zero for Sunday?
Well, certainly for the upper parts of the Midwest, yes. I think the lower Midwest will probably see teens, maybe a few spots will stay in the single digits. It's going to be a fairly quick punch of cold, so it won't stick around too long. But for about a 48-hour period there, it's going to be real nasty. So build your fire, get your firewood, get ready to go, and just kind of hunker down for a couple of days, and we should get ourselves out of the cold pattern for a little while as we go into next week. So there's hope on the horizon.
On the subject of next week, producers in Argentina sure would like the rainfall to come next week. What do you think the possibilities are?
There will be some significant rain that occurs across much of Argentina as we go through the late weekend and all of next week. And the amount of rain that falls should be significant enough in about two-thirds of the corn and soybean producing areas to really do a good job in relieving that area of the extreme stress and heat that's going to occur over the next several days. I am a little concerned about the southern parts of their corn and soybean country that may still need rain after next week. But this is certainly going to be a significant event that will bring an opportunity for relief. But like I said, we're going to have the subsoil moisture situation depleted pretty good by the time we get into the weekend coming up, and there's no moisture in the topsoil. So it's going to take multiple inches of moisture to restore the whole profile. And we'll get good at the topsoil, but it'll be important to see some follow-up rain later this month in order to prevent them from going back dry again.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
You bet. Safe travels to you, and have a great day.
And the same for you. That, of course, is Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report.